Acts 3. I need some helpers in order to act this out. I've put some props under chairs. If you can find a prop under your chair, that means that you will be one of the actors. Somebody's found a pen which is nothing to do with the drama. But no, you can stay here. You can stay. Right. Now, Acts 3, starting at verse 1. And our actors are going to help us out. One day, Peter and John, of course, John means God is gracious. So has anyone, do we have John here? So here comes John. God is gracious. And we have the rock. So here we are. So one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. Here they are, walking towards the temple gates at 3 p.m. Now, a man was lame from birth. He was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. And Peter and John, you stop. And he was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. We continue with the reading on the next screen. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him on the floor, and so did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said,
"Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth."
And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. He jumped to his feet. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And of course, at this time, there were lots of other people going into the temple courts. There we are. It's quite hot in this country. Tea towels are needed. Okay. And when all of the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. Look at their faces, these people. Wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Round of applause to our actors. I now hand over to Lou, who's going to bring us our talk.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Let me get this out of the way. Did you know there are only 69 shopping days until Christmas? You might think that it's only October, only just the start of October, or maybe you feel like you've only just got back from your summer holidays, but actually, time's ticking away, and you need to prepare yourself, because in about 2 weeks, when all those Halloween bits have been cleared off the shelf, they're going to be filling them with tinsel and wrapping paper and general Christmas tat. So in case you've forgotten, here is a taste of what the next few months have got in store for us. Okay, there is going to be a lot of shopping and a lot of driving and a lot of struggling to park. The shops are going to be filled with, I don't even know what that is. We are going to wear ridiculous clothes and we are going to eat ridiculous food. And we are also going to be met with people asking us to give generously our money. So all in all, it's pretty likely that between now and the end of December, you're going to spend a chunk of money and you're going to be asked to give away some money too. And today in our all-age service, we are thinking about how we respond to those people who ask us for money as we look at the story of Peter and the man who was begging outside the gate. For Peter, The sight of this beggar would have been a familiar one. The Bible tells us that this man was unable to walk from birth, and that people brought him every day to the temple gate at the time when people used to go there so that he could beg money. And in many ways, in our world today, things have changed for the better. We live in a time and place where the weak, the elderly, and the infirm are taken care of. We have pensions, we have social care, we have a variety of safety nets to support those in need. And yet, the sight of a person sitting at a busy street asking for money is still one that is familiar to us today. Today, of course, requests for money are not limited to street corners. We have high street fundraisers. We have doorstep fundraising. We have TV ads. We have radio ads. We have web browser pop-up ads. There are so many different voices that ask us for money today, particularly in the time leading up to Christmas, that it can be easy to become desensitized to the needs in our world. But when we look at Peter's reaction to the man at the temple gate, we see that Peter stopped. He looked right at the man and he asked the man to look back at him. There was an interaction, a personal interaction between the two of them. Now, I expect that most of the people who saw that beggar responded in one of two ways. Most of them probably either ignored him or threw money at him. And I think it's all too easy for us to react the same way today. But Peter takes the time to stop. And I wonder how often we take the time to really look those people in the eye who we see on our streets each week. I wonder if we take the time to really research those charities whose ads pop up in our web browsers, to engage with the issues, to make informed decisions about whether or what to give. I'm not trying to oversimplify a complex problem. We know that some requests for money that we receive are badly timed or even rude or threatening. And I'm not going to pretend that I take the time to stop and befriend every person in need that I walk past, or that I engage with every charity collector who knocks at my door at 5:45. But when I read Peter's reaction to the man begging at the temple gate, I am challenged to remember that behind each request for money is a real person with a real need. So in the next couple of months, as the ads pop up and the collection boxes rattle, let's allow ourselves to be challenged not to deal with the problem by ignoring it or throwing money at it, but to slow down enough to prayerfully consider how to use what we have to meet the needs of the world around us and to change lives for the better. If we look back to the story of Peter and the man at the gate, we see that what happens next is pretty amazing. The man does look back at Peter. He is hoping to get money. But instead, Peter says to him, "I don't have any money to give you, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And Peter helps the man up, and his legs become stronger, and he's able to walk, and he follows Peter to the temple, walking and jumping and praising God. Now, I want to say at this point that I don't know how Peter healed the man. I don't know how it was that he was able to walk. There's certainly no obvious scientific explanation that I can give you. And some people say that because the Bible contains stories of things that aren't easy to explain, that the Bible must have got it wrong. But I don't think I agree. Because even though our understanding of nature and science and medicine is much better than in the time that the Bible was written, we still don't understand everything. In fact, we're quite far from understanding everything. And I think if we believe in a God who is great and powerful and loving beyond our understanding, then we can't be too surprised if he does something that's beyond our understanding. Miracles like the one in today's story are rare. If they weren't rare, we wouldn't call them miracles. But just because they don't happen every day doesn't mean that they don't happen. One thing I love about this miraculous healing is the fact that the beggar doesn't actually get what he asks for. The beggar asks for money and Peter doesn't give him any. But what Peter does give him is so much better than what he asks for. Peter's plans for the beggar are better than the beggar's plans. And we can take this as a picture of God's great love and grace and generosity towards us. God knows our needs and the desires of our hearts better than we do. And sometimes he holds back from giving us what we think we want to bless us with what we really desire. Let's remember that the God of the Bible is a God of miracles who can do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. I'm also struck when I look at this story, not just at the amazing way in which God heals this man through Peter, but at the fact that it's amazing that Peter had the faith and vision to allow him to do it. Because if you think about it, what Peter does is not a normal response. I just can't imagine being met by a person asking me for money and responding as Peter did, by telling somebody who couldn't walk to get up and walk. It was Peter's faith and not the beggar's which healed him. Some people might describe it that Peter was thinking outside of the box. I would probably call Peter's words and actions inspired. By giving money, Peter could have helped the man for a day or a week or even a month. But what he does instead changes that man's life forever. When we look at the problems and needs in the world around us, I think we often should feel led to respond by giving generously. But that's not the only possible response. And sometimes God calls us to do something even better. And there's loads of examples that we can see in our world today of people or groups that have responded in really fresh, creative and inspired ways to the needs in the world around us. And we sung this morning about how we worship a creator God who calls us to be creative. So I wanted to just have a look at a few of them. Okay, so downstairs after the service, there's going to be a fair trade stall. We'll talk about fair trade. There's some advent calendars to come later. But the Fair Trade Initiative is a really clever idea. The idea is that instead of giving money to people in need, we pay them a living wage and a fair wage for what they produce for us. Okay, so that instead of giving handouts, we're able to pay fairly. It's a really clever idea. And then products in the UK get to show that they have got fair trade status with a little emblem on them, that people are more likely to buy it. Okay, there's also the Big Issue Foundation, okay, which works for homeless people. This is a newspaper that said rather than giving money to homeless people, let's give jobs to homeless people. Jobs that will give them self-esteem and jobs that will give them skills that they can write on a CV that will help them to move out of their situation. All over London and all over the country at the moment, there are organisations popping up that are collecting food from supermarkets that would otherwise be thrown away, sorting through it, bagging it up and distributing it to food banks, to shelters and to breakfast clubs. These are really fantastic ideas that involve something better than just giving money. And I know that they're not all Christian charities, but they are all examples of people using their God-given talents, gifts and creativity in an inspired way. God calls all his people to be generous in giving what we have to those in need, but he also calls us to be creative and visionary in how we seek to address the problems in our world. One final thing that we can take from today's story is what happens next. After Peter heals the man at the gate, they go together to the temple, and the man who has been healed is leaping and singing and dancing and praising God. And other people recognize him as the man who used to be unable to walk and used to beg. And they gather around and they ask, how could this happen? And Peter responds by telling them really clearly, this did not happen because of me. Peter credits the healing to Jesus, and he uses it as an opportunity to tell the gathered crowd about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And many of those who are listening believe in Jesus, and they give their life to him. And we're told in the Bible that the number of believers then grew to about 5,000. So Peter's actions and words didn't just change the life of the beggar, they changed the lives of the onlookers too. and it changed the life and the character of the church. And I think we need to remember today that if we are Christian, we possess a life-changing message that is more precious than gold or silver. Every time we have a baptism here in church, we get the chance to hear the life-changing difference that Jesus has made in someone's life. And in the next couple of months, as we lead up to Christmas, it's a great opportunity for us to share that life-giving message that God came down to earth and was born as a human to be our saviour. So as all the madness of Christmas starts to begin in the next couple of months, let's just remember that it can be so easy to get caught up with the shopping and the TV and the chocolate that we forget to slow down and to stop and to really look at those in our world who are in need. It can also be really easy to forget that Christmas is not just a season of goodwill to all men. It's a chance to celebrate the birth of Jesus, who is our God and Saviour, and to recognise the difference that he makes in our lives. So in the weeks and months ahead, let us seek to be generous and creative in sharing our money and our time and our talents. Let us also seek to be bold like Peter in sharing the life-changing message of God's love for us and his power to transform lives.